And we're holding on page Ayin Gimel in Shabbos, the end of the narrow lines. Middle, so sure, for those who are using other editions, it would be the middle of our Sefer Gimel. We talked about yesterday about what happens to the Neshamas of Tzadikim versus Rishoyim after they pass away. The Neshamas of Tzadikim, we said, have their rest under they're hidden under the Kisei HaKavod. The Neshamas of Rishoyim are swung around in Kafakel. And we talked about what kafakela means. Among other things, it means that it's being thrown back and forth between Elikos and the Gashmiistic world, and it feels pain from that. Marshall said it refers to Gilgal, etc. Anyway, so now the question is, okay, well, we know there's Tzadikim, there's Rishoyim, and there's also Benanim. So, Amalei Rava, or Rabba, Lord of Nachman, Shal Benanim, Mai. What happens to the Neshamas of Benanim? Now, we don't mean Benanim here like Benanim of Tanya, because those would be what we usually think of as a Tzadik. They haven't done any Aveis. We're talking about what the Alter Rebbe explains over there is called the Inyan, is Shema Mushal, the Inyan Schav Onish, the looser meaning of Benanim, as it's relevant to Schav Onish, where it means somebody who has exactly half mitzvahs, half Aveis. Omalei Rava or Rabba, Lord of Nachman, Shal Benanim Mai. Do you have the right volume? You might have the wrong volume. Pick one of the other ones. Yeah, this is the right volume. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's page Ayin Gimel in Shabbos. So Omalei Rava or Rabba, Lord of Nachman, Shal Benanim Mai. What about the Neshamas of Benanim, the ones who have half mitzvahs, half avos? What happens to them? Omalei, sort of Nachman says, you know, it's a good thing you ask. Ika shchivna, now if who is usually how the Gemara would put it. If now I'd passed away, loy ami l'chu hai milsa, then I wouldn't have told you the statement. In other words, Ben Yehoyada explains that Reb Nachman knew that Shmuel had told him this privately, and he hadn't told it to anybody else. Now he's going to quote something from Shmuel on this. So he knew that the answer to this question, Shmuel had told him, Reb Nachman, privately, and if they didn't ask, then it would have, when Reb Nachman passed away, it would have disappeared. You find Bechlau in the Gemara, you find in a number of places where it seems the Chachamim didn't always volunteer information to their Talmidim. They waited for their Talmidim to ask first, the Pashtus, because they needed to see whether their Talmidim are ready for this. The fact that they ask for it shows that they're ready and that they're interested in it and that they have a, and that they want it. So therefore, then it's time to be Mashpia for them. You find, for example, a Gemara in Sanhedrin where Rabbi Eliezer says, at the end of his life, right before he passed away, he says, there's thousands of halachas. I know that nobody ever thought to ask me, so why didn't he volunteer then? But Pasha is the same kind of thing. Anyway, so now Rav Nachman is saying to Rava or to Rava, it's a good thing you asked me, because otherwise this would have died with me. Hochi Omer Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Elu ve'elu the Dumonim Sorim, both these and those, the Rishoyim and the Benanim, they both are given over to Duma. Rashi defines over here and another place in Shas that Duma is the Malach, Rashi says Malach HaMuna Al Ruchos, the Malach in charge of the Neshamas, so of the spirits. In Zohar particularly, it talks about that he's the Sar of Gehenna. So both the Rishoyim and the Benanim need to be under his control, because after all, they both have Aves. Halolu Yesh Lehem Manoyach, V'Halolu Ein Lehem Manoyach. The difference is the Rishoyim have no peace, like we said before. They end up in Kafakela, the Benanim do not. They're able to rest at peace. Marshall points out eventually there's going to be the judgment loss in love. Besides that you have the judgment that every person goes through after 120, there's also the final judgment that's going to be loss in love. At that point, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that Hashem is lenient towards the Benanim, Rav Chesed, Mata, Klape Chesed, that Hashem, so to speak, tilts the scale in their favor so that they end up, in a good place. No, that's the malach that gets a person that keeps, well, the malach really that keeps a person out of, not malach, but the Gemara tells us in Erevin, we'll have in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, that Avram Avinu stands by the entrance to Gehenna, and anybody who has a bris milah, he won't allow them to be sent there. But of course, I mean, there's many different levels of Gehenna. So here we're talking about, there is a level where, after all, the Rishoyim and the Benanim have to be cleaned up of their Aveiros. So therefore, they're handed over under Duma's control, but right now in the Olam HaNeshamas, they can't yet be tachas kisei hakavod because they're not tzaddikim gvurim. So they need to spend the time under the control of Duma, and there they get cleaned up. So there, they have a rest. Marashah says until eventually there's the Yom HaDin, La'asid Lavoi, at the time of Tchias HaMesim, and then the Hashem will judge them leniently and mock the Klape Chesed and tilt the scale in their favor. Okay. The Gemara continues, Omer Leir Rav Mori, Asidim Tzadikim Dehavu Afra. In the future, the Tzadikim are also going to become dust. So even though Tzadikim's bodies, the Gemara mentions in various places, and we're going to have an example of it now, that their bodies don't decay in the grave, they're intact for long after they pass away, and you have a number of well-known stories of that. You have, for example, Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, they had to rebury him 20 years after his Asalkus, because, it was under his directions, it was the Rebbe Rashab, they had to bury 20 years after his Asalkus, because the Russians were going to pave over the place, and they found the body was still intact. And there's many other stories like that. There's a story with Rabbi Melech Lezhensky, where the Nazis, Yimachshemam, opened his grave and found the body was still intact. And there's many examples of that. Nevertheless, Rav Mori says eventually they're going to return to dust also. So the Gemara tells, as the pasuk says, from the perek of Kehelis that we've been quoting throughout this whole sugya, the dirt will return to the earth as it was. So since mankind was originally made from dirt, the offerata, therefore it has to be vel offer tashuv, and there's going to be, eventually it has to return to the dust. So now the Gemara tells a story in this connection. Hanuk Fuloi, there were these diggers that have a kafli ba'ara dev Nachman. They were digging in land that belonged to Rav Nachman. Nochor Bahur of Achi Bar Yoshia, all of a sudden Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, who was buried there, yelled at them. Rashi says over here, Nocha means guard, who means he yelled at them, he rebuked them for bothering him because he was buried there without them knowing, obviously. In other places, Rashi explains that during the Shia is not really the time for it. So in other places, Rashi explains that nochar means more like he made a noise, like a snorting or a coughing or whatever noise, whatever the case. The point was to alert them that I'm here, leave me alone. Also, va'amulele Rav Nachman, nochar ban gavra. They came and told Rav Nachman, we were digging in your field, and all of a sudden somebody made a noise at us. Also, so Rav Nachman came to see what's going on. Va'amulele says, man nihumar, Rebbe, who are you? I'm not Achi Bar Yoshia. So he identifies himself. This Rav Achi Bar Yoshia was actually one of the later Tanoim. We find him in various places in Shas in the same generation as Rav Nosson and Rav Yehuda ben Beseira and the other Tanoim of the generation before Rebbe. So this is, we're talking a good 100-150 years before Rav Nachman's times. So Bapashtus, apparently the location of the caver had been forgotten, and now it's in the middle of Rav Nachman's field. One possibility that could be is we find the Pshuta Goyen tells us in his Igeres, where he gives an overview of Jewish history up to his time. He tells us that a few years after Shmuel passed away, so you're talking when Rav Nachman was a boy, the city of Nahudah was destroyed. Now Rav Nachman lived in Nahudah. Later on, the city was rebuilt, and he lived there. So it could very well be that Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, back in his time, had lived in Nahudah, so it was the center of Jewish life in Babel. So it could be when the city was destroyed, maybe people lost track of where the cave was, and now it wound up in the middle of Rav Nachman's field, and now all of a sudden they're digging, and they had no idea it's there. Whatever the case, so he says, so I'm Achi Bar Yoshia, one of the Tanoim who lived 150 years earlier. Omalei, so Rav Nachman asks him, how are you still intact that you're able to be talking to me? The lav omer of Mori asidi tzadiki da'avu afra. Didn't Rav Mori say that eventually even the tzadikim will become dust? Omalei, so of Achid Bar Yoshi answers, Manu Mori, delo yadaimalei. Who is this Mori? I don't know of him, and I don't have to be concerned for what he's saying. He says asidim tzadikim da'avu afra. I'm not bound by what he says. Omalei, so Rav Nachman asks him, v'akroksiv v'yoshiv ha'ofra ala oretz kishahaya, knew what about the pasuk that Rav Mori quoted. Omalei, said Rav Achi Bar Yoshia tells him, De'akriach kehelas by akriach mishle. Whoever taught you kehelas did not teach you mishle. And Marashah points out, when you get down to it, mishle is a more important sefer of shloimes. We had earlier in the Masechta, we said at one point the Chachamim were thinking of hiding away kehelas, and they realized that not Mishle, they only had, they briefly thought about it, but besides that also, the Gemara mentions in the Mishnah mentions in Masechet Yadayim, a machlokas tanoim, whether Kehelas is considered to have enough kedusha to be metame a person's hands. Kisvei HaKodesh, there's a gzeira drabonon, that the metame a person's hands, so you didn't keep them near food of truma, and then mice will come and eat the truma and eat the Kisvei HaKodesh as well. So there's machlokas in the Mishnah and Yadayim, whether Kehelas is in that category, or whether it's just the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. Mishle, on the other hand, nobody ever had a suffix about. Therefore, Mishle is on a higher level. So Rav Acha Bar Yoshia tells him, you may have learned Kehelas, but you haven't learned the greater sefer of David, of Shloimeh's, namely Mishle. Dichtiv, where you have a pasuk there that says, Urekav Atzmos Kina, and the rotting of the bones is jealousy, which means, Kol Mishiesh Lekina Belibay, anybody who has jealousy in his heart, Atzmos of Markivim, then his bones will rot. But when a person doesn't have that nida, then his bones stay intact. So I didn't have that. So therefore I'm still intact. The Maharal explains, in other words, a kina, what does it mean when a person is jealous of somebody else? It means he thinks that there's somebody else has something which he lacks. Well, therefore, so in other words, he doesn't have a shleimus of his own. So therefore he doesn't have the schus that his body will be preserved. Agav, by the way, worth mentioning in that connection, there is something that's brought from one of the Rishonim. I think it's brought in Lekhet Yosha, but I don't remember. I wasn't able to find it. But anyway, in the time of one of the Rishonim, in Germany or Austria or whatever, that part of the world, there was a girl who unfortunately had Shmadzich, and eventually she died not long afterwards. They buried her eventually, as the Goyim sometimes do. They unburied her body to take the bones and put it wherever they put it or whatever, and they found the body was still intact. So they asked the Rav, Hayitochen, she's Shmadzich, she's certainly not, she's the furthest thing from a tzedekis. And he explained, he gave the Galochim some excuse, I don't remember what it was exactly, but he told his Talmidim privately, the vort is, we learned yesterday that as long as the flesh is still intact, the neshama doesn't have full peace, she is, the Ebishte has decided her neshama is not yet ready to be at peace, therefore her body is still intact. She still needs that yisurim for her neshama. So obviously you can't say every time you find a body intact, means the person was a tzaddik, but obviously you have to, it's the other way around. If you know the person's a tzaddik, then you can use that as proof of it. Anyway. So his bones didn't rot. Dashashay, then at that point, Rav Nachman felt the body, chazya de ispe mishosha, and he realized it actually has substance there, meaning not only the bones are still intact, but the flesh. Omalei, so at that point, he says to Rav Acha Bar Yoshia, Leikum Mar Legabe Devesa. In that case, Rebbe, come into the house. You might as well come into the house. Then Yehoyada explains, okay, he's not thinking there should be all of a sudden Tchias and Mason just for Rav Acha Bar Yoshia. But he's saying, at least instead of you being buried in an undignified place like that in the middle of my field, at least get up to the extent that now you can be buried in some place a little more recovered. Omalei, Rav Achi answers him, Galus Adaitach Dafir Nevi, like Parisa. Now, by saying that, you've shown you haven't even learned Nevi'im, which Marsha says, the vort is, after all, Nevi'im is certainly on a higher level than Ksuvim. Nevi'im are given directly with Nevuah. Ksuvim is only Ruach HaKodesh. So first I was telling you that you seem to have not learned Mishle, which is a higher level than Kehelas. Now I see you haven't even learned Nevi'im, which is a higher level than that. After all, the pasuk says in Yechezkel, you will know that I am Hashem. The pischias kivrei seichem, when I open up your graves, over haloisi es kam kivrei seichem ami, and when I take you out of your graves, my people. In other words, Hashem is going to decide when the bodies are going to rise up from the graves, when there's going to be tzeis amesim. We don't have rishus to do it on our own. Then Yehoyada actually says a cute vort on it. He says, it's one thing, Rav Achi Bar Yoshia is telling him, if you're not familiar with Mishle, fine, they never lay it publicly, so you may not be so familiar with it. But this pasuk over here from Yechezkel, we read it almost every year, Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach, almost every year, there's a Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach. So what, you don't pay attention when they read that Torah and Shul? Omalei, sort of Nachman asked him, Voksiv, ki offer atavel, offer toshu. Nu, what about though? The fact is, the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Adam Rishon, you are dust and you're going to return to dust. So therefore, in that Bapashus, that means everybody, Tzadikim and Tzadikim or not. In fact, Rashi points out, it can't mean only Rishoyim, because all the clawless for Adam Rishon are on all of humanity. So, Rav Achi answers him, Ahu Shah Achas Todim Tchias HaMesim. That means a short time before Tchias HaMesim, then all the tzaddikim whose bodies up until then are intact will return to dust. With the idea being that way it'll be, that Tchias HaMesim will be like Yesh Me'ayim. But, up until that point, the bodies are able to stay intact. Now, what's going on over here? Marsha points out over here, you have a big question in this. Why is Rav Nachman beginning the discussion by mentioning what Rav Mori says based on a pasuk in Kehelts? If he knows, why isn't he at the very end only he brings the pasuk from Chumash? You would think he should bring the pasuk from Chumash first. So what's he going through this whole rigmarole before he finally gets to that? So Marsha explains, another question is when he says Rav Mori's vote from the Pasuk in Kehelas and Rav Achi dismisses it and says, who's this Mori? I don't know who he is. Why didn't he answer? The same thing. Shoachas told him to kiss a mason. So Marsha explains like this. We know a person is formed by three partners. You have the father, the mother, and Hashem. The father gives various things that the various white substances in the body, including the Gemara mentions over there, the bones, the white of the eye, etc. The mother provides the red parts, the blood, the flesh, etc. And Hashem provides the neshama and the various senses. So now, in turn, Marsha says, within that, then you have, during a person's lifetime, there's three different relationships that they have. There's three different kinds of midas. Tov l'shamayim, Tov l'briyas, and Tov l'atzma, whether a person is doing good for himself or not, and for others, and for Hashem. Tzaddikim work and perfect themselves in those three ways, and for that reason, there's Gemara in Ksubas that says that when a tzaddik passes away, three groups of malachim come to greet him, in token of the three areas of his body and the three areas of his midas that he would find. On the other hand, the Gemara says there are Rosha, three groups of malachim chabola, destructive malachim, come to greet him and say appropriate psukim, showing that he defiled all those three areas. So now, what happened is, So it's like this then. So first Rav Nachman asks him, how is it that your body is still intact? Meaning at that point, he only knows that the bones are intact. He doesn't realize yet that the flesh is still there. So Rav Achi informs him, since I didn't have that nidah of kina, therefore my bones are still intact. Those come from the father, and that represents, in other words, that I didn't have a midas ras myself, and therefore I was saved from that. So then Rav Nachman realizes that he actually has, his flesh is still intact. That's the part that comes from the mother. That represents tov labrius. So he asks him, how come, then in that case, you have everything. You have your bones and your flesh, and you still have your neshama because you're talking with me. So therefore, at that point, you should be all ready for Tzkias HaMesim. And then Rav Achi tells him, no, it's not time for that yet. You do have all three of those, but you still need Hashem to open the key. Hashem is the one who has the key of Tzkias HaMesim. So then at that point, now Rav Nachman first thinks of asking from the Pasuk, El Ofer Atav, El Ofer Toshu. Why? Because most people come from, we said, there's a father, a mother, and Hashem. But other Marishan was created all by Hashem. Everything of him came from the dirt. So therefore, and the fact is, Marsha says, we have a Gemara in Bava Basra that tells us that Adam's body continued to exist long after that. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that a Bana, one of the Chachamim, who was one of the Rabbeim of Rabbi Yochanan, was one time marking the graves by the Maris Machpelah, and he found Adam's body over there, and he found that even his heel was still luminous and so forth, so we see that his body was still intact. So the question was, in that case, then, it's one thing with a regular person, fine, you can talk about if they were good in all these three areas of midas, their body would still be intact. But that's because those three represent the three places that the various parts of their body and their neshama came from. But Adam Rishon didn't have that because he didn't have parents. So how comes it that his body is still intact? And so how is it that Hashem tells him, Ofer Atav El Ofer Toshu, and until then it's intact? And that's when he tells him that means that right before Tchias HaMesim, his body will also become dust. Because again, it has to be that it'll be like Yesh Me'ai. That's how Marsha explains the whole back and forth. The Maharal says another possibility is, he says, B'chlal, this whole thing may have not happened in the Metzius that we're familiar with. It may not necessarily be that these people are after that he's actually literally talking with Rav Achi Bar Yoshia and offering and feeling him and finding that the body still has substance and so forth. The Maharal explains it may mean that Rav Nachman himself, when he found these diggers over there, find the body over there, he starts thinking to himself, you know, if the body is still intact, How does that fit with what Reb Mori said? That Asid and Tzadikim, Shiyasu Lachron. Does that mean Reb Mori doesn't know what he's talking about? That he's expressing, that the Gemara is expressing it in terms of Reb Achi saying, who's Mori that I don't know him? Meaning this is Reb Nachman thinking in his mind, maybe Reb Mori doesn't know what he's talking about. And then he goes on to think about it, the various back and forth, and eventually he comes to a conclusion to make everything all fit together and to make Reb Mori's statement fit in it as well. Okay. The Gemara continues. A certain min says to Rav Abahu, Amritu nishmasim shal tzaddikim gnuzes tachas kisei hakavod. Now you say that the nisham, we said before, that the nishamas of tzaddikim are hidden under the kisei hakavod. So in that case, the rich over there who brought up Shmuel's spirit. You have the story in Sefer Shmuel where Shaul is facing a major battle against the Plishtim, and he wants to know whether they're going to be successful, and he asks the Umbatumim, nothing, he asks the Nevi'im, he asks people, he asks the Shaila Scholem, nothing, and in desperation, he goes to an Ashes Balas Oiv, to a woman who practices Oiv, which is also Minatora anyway, but whatever, and she does her magic, and she brings up Shmuel's spirit. Mind you, there are Rishonim who explain that actually, now the Gemara, when it discusses it over here, and in Chagiga, and in various other places, the Gemara always assumes that it really was she brought up Shmuel's spirit. There are, by the way, Rishonim who learn that not. There's one of the last of the Gaonim, Rav Shmuel Bachofni Gaon, who was a Mechotin of Rav Shuda Gaon, he learns that actually, no, that the whole, and a couple of other Rishonim learn this way also, that no, the whole thing was a fake, that she pretended as though she had brought up Shmuel's spirit, and she's speaking in his name but the Gemara obviously assumes that it's not so. So the question is, Oiva Tamya, the Balas Oiv, Tamya Rashi explains means that they use bones to perform their magic. Tamya is an Aramaic word for bones. The Oruch brings a different explanation from Rebbe Chanano, that Oiva Tamya is the name of a certain shed that they worship and that they accomplish their magic through that. Anyway, Heicha Askel Shmuel ben Gida. How could such a person be able to bring up Shmuel's Neshama with magic? If it's under the Kisei HaKavod, since when is magic able to reach that level, under the Kisei HaKavod yet? Besides which, Marshall says, actually, when the Gemara in Chagiga mentions, by the way, that, when a Baal Oiv or a Baalas Oiv, whatever, when they bring up a person's spirit, the magician themselves can see the spirit embodied in a body, but they can't hear anything they're saying. And the customer, in this case, Shoal, is the other way around, can hear what the person is speaking, but not see them. So she says, Elikim Ra'isi Olim Min Ha'aretz. She says, I saw a powerful one coming up from the earth. So up from the earth implies not from up, not from down, not from above, from under the Kisei HaKavod. So what's going on over here? Asks this mean. And besides that, Ion Yaakov points out further that part of the question was also that not only the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that not only Shmuel's neshama came, but also Moshe Rabbeinu, because when Shmuel heard that he's being summoned, he got nervous. He thought the Beis Shemaila is summoning him, and he asked Moshe Rabbeinu to come along and vouch for him. So how would she be able to do that? So he answers, Amalei Hosin B'Sef Yud Beis Chodesh Haba. The reason is because that was within 12 months after Shmuel had passed away. Shmuel passed away 4 months before Shaul. This took place on the night before, on the day or the night, whatever, before the battle of Harav Gilboa, where Shaul was killed. So therefore, it was only four months after Shmuel had passed away. And at that point, his neshama is still connected with the earth. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, throughout the 12 months, the body is still reasonably intact, and the neshama can go up and down, and sometimes it's in Shemayim, and sometimes it's down on earth. After 12 months, the body ceases to exist, and at that point, the neshama goes up to Shemayim, and if he's a tzaddik, he goes under the Kisei HaKavod, and it doesn't come down again. So therefore, had it been more than 12 months after Shmuel had passed away, then yeah, the Balas Oiv wouldn't have been able to accomplish anything. But because it was within 12 months, it worked. Tosfos now mentions that nevertheless, the neshama still has the choice. It can come down when it wants. We just had the story of Rav Acha Bar Yoshi before. It was 100, 150 years since he had passed away, and still his neshama was there and talking with Rav Nachman. Yeah, but also that story of Rav Bana and checking the and marking the graves over there by the Rav Samach Bela. where the Gemara then mentions that he talked with Eliezer Eved Avraham, and so on and so forth. So even though the neshamas of the tzaddikim are under the kisaka, but nevertheless, when they want, they can still come back down. That also goes with what we were talking about yesterday from Kuntrasei Shtatfus from the Mitzvah Rebbe that talks about the advantages that what you accomplish by davening by the grave of a tzaddik is, again, because like Tosfos is saying over here, the neshama of the tzaddik is able to be aroused and to come down and to be mashpia on the person. Okay. Continuing on this topic of Mesim and what they feel after they pass away. So Amar of Yehuda Breder Shmo Bashilas Mishmederav Mehespeder Shal Odom, based on the hesped, based on the mourning that they do for a person, Nikered Ben Odom Hu Abahu Imlad. You can tell whether he's a person worthy of Odom Abah. If it was an Odom Kosher, if it was an Erev Chayid, then people are going to be crying for him and then telling about the good things about him, and that shows he's Ben Odom Abah. If not, then not so much. Maharsha points out also, the vote is, when the person is alive, and when they say good things about him, they may be saying it only to chan for him, only to flatter him. But they might be afraid of him, and therefore they feel they're constrained to say good about him. But once he passes away, then there's no chanufa and there's no yira. So if they're still telling good things about him, it means he is a ben of the mamba. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? The same Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, the father of Rabbi Yehuda, who we just quoted this from, he says, Achim behesbedoi, warm everybody up with my hesped, meaning work hard to bring the people to tears. The word achim means to heat up. So Rashi translates it as the yichmeru rachmei o'imnim sham. Literally, the word yichmeru actually you find in Chumash, for example, yichmeru rachmei o'achiv, and you have other examples that you have examples of that in davening. The point is the word literally means, Rashi explains the first time it comes up in Chumash, that it literally means to heat up, because when people's emotions are aroused, you can describe it as like their emotions are heated and therefore like tears flow freely and whatever. Anyway, so Rav says, warm the people up with my hesped, work hard to make a hesped in a way that people will cry for me, Jehosim Ke'imna, because I will be standing over there and I want to hear what's done and I want to hear what they're saying. There is a different explanation. The Shalom HaKadosh brings that Jehosim Ke'imna means make sure that you stick in your hesped only to the things where I actually stand, where I actually was holding in my avodah in life. Don't exaggerate. In Shulchan Aruch, actually it says, with a hesped, you are allowed to exaggerate a little bit beyond what the person did. And the Taz gives a reason, because after all, let's say, for example, the person gave us a certain amount of tzedakah, you can exaggerate a little bit, because you can assume if he would have had more resources, he would have given more. But you can't make up things entirely. That's not good for the neshama. So therefore, according to that explanation, then Rav is saying, make sure you don't exaggerate. Stick to the actual facts. Anyway, the point is, since now Rav obviously is a great tzaddik, he's surely a ben olam haba, so why would he need to tell Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas to make sure that the hesped is a good one and that people are going to cry? The answer is, like Kasha, hod mechamulei v'choyim over achim. The difference is that when they try to warm up the hesped, you do need people to warm up. You do need people to say a hesped in a way that's going to make the people cry. But what happens after that? Does it actually have an effect? Do the people respond to that? So if they do, now like this, Rashi explains, when a person is old, and Rav, for example, was quite old when he passed away, then usually people are not so moved to tears about it. He was old after all, he lived a full life, so therefore they don't find it as emotional a thing. But on the other hand, if it was an Odom Chosid, if it was a great tzaddik, then they do. Then their emotions are still stirred by the fact that the world has lost such a person. So therefore, so Hod Mechamulei V'choyim, so when they try to work to arouse people's emotions and people actually respond to that, then that shows it's Ben Olam Haba. Hod Mechamulei V'choyim or Achim, but if they try to arouse that and nothing happens and the people don't respond, then you know the person maybe was not such a great person. So that's why Rav has to tell Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Achim Behespeda, because we need to see, are the people going to react to it? Marsha gives a different explanation also. It's not just that, like Rashi says, that when he's old, people may not have their emotions stirred as much. There's also the fact, as the Gemara is now going to go on to say, that that a Talmid Chacham, who's a Rav or a Rosh Hashiva or whatever, not always does everybody like him. After all, he tells people off for the things they do wrong. So therefore, if nevertheless we see when he passes away that everybody is sad, then that shows he's a Ben Olam Haba. So in this connection, Amalei Abaya l'Rabba, so Abaya asks Rabba, who was the Rosh Hashiva and Pompadissa, to go in Meir. Now what about somebody like you, Rebbe, the son of Kulu Pompadissai, everybody in Pompadissa hates you, not everybody literally, but many of the people, because Rashi explains there were many people in Pompadissa who were liars and cheaters. There's a Gemara, and we don't mean the Chachmei Yeshiva over there, we mean the Pashas, the Balabatim in town. In fact, a couple of generations earlier, I was mentioning before how the city of Nahodah was destroyed, and after that, the yeshiva that Shmuel had founded in Nahodah was transferred afterwards to Pompadissa. One reason may have been, Taka, because of Yehuda, who brought it over there, may have figured the people over there are such moshkosim, we need a yeshiva over there in order to raise their level. Whatever the case, the point is, the Gemara says that even long afterwards, some of the people in Pompadissa were very dishonest people. So therefore, and Rabba would tell them off for that, so therefore they didn't like him. So Abaya asked to man achim espedel. So who's going to warm up? Who's going to try to arouse the people's emotions by your hesped if nobody there likes you? Omalei, so Rabba answers, that's not a problem. Mistaya after Rabba Barav Hanan, it'll be enough if you and Rabba Barav Hanan give the hesped, you're my talmidim. They were Rabba's close talmidim throughout their lives, and therefore if you give the hesped and you cry on my behalf, I'll consider that enough. I don't need, if the rest of the people are not as aroused by that, then it doesn't matter. Eitz Yosef, by the way, brings another point over here. What's the advantage of the hesped that people should cry on behalf of the person and that makes them a Ben Olam Haba? Is because when there's a hesped like that and the people's emotions are aroused, so what happens is it motivates them to do more mitzvahs. We lost the tzaddik, therefore we now have to do more mitzvahs and then v'neil chabar choysev and so on and so forth in order to keep them alive in the world. So therefore, so if that happens, if they're aroused to that, then it benefits the neshama of the tzaddik, and therefore that's why we're saying that it's a good thing that should happen. It's a good thing on his behalf. It helps him be more of a ben olam haba. So that's why Abaya is concerned, and he asks Rabba, so what's going to happen by your levaya? So Rabba is saying, as long as you and Rabba Bar Rav Hanan, who are my true close talmidim, and you're going to be motivated to do more mitzvahs and to go higher in avodas Hashem, by being moved to that by my levaya, then that'll be quite enough. So the Gemara continues in this vein. By the way, Abaya himself says a vort in one place in Shas in this connection. He says if a rav is liked by the people in town, it means he's not doing his job. His job is supposed to be to tell the people off, to give him musa for what they're doing wrong. If they like him, it shows that so that fits with what we're saying over here, that very few people, very few of the Balabatim and Pompadissa like Rabba. By the way, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that eventually somebody mastered on Rabba to the government, and Rabba was forced to escape, and he passed away hiding out in a swamp over there. It's a whole long arichos over there, so that may well have been one of these dishonest people in Pompadissa that Rabba was always telling off for his averus, and now at one point he decided to take his revenge. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Bomine Rebeloza me Rav. Rebeloza asks Rav, "Ezehu ben ha'olam haba? What is the difference? Who do we know is a real ben ha'olam haba?" Amalei. So he answers him with a pasuk from Yeshaya. "Va'aznecha tishmana dova me'acharecha leimer. Your ears will hear a word from behind you saying, 'Zeh haderech l'chuvoy.' This is the way in which you should go." So Rashi explains that what he means is me'acharecha means after the person passes away, and after, as they're carrying out his mitzvah, then they're giving hespedim. So when people say the way that he went in is the way that you should continue to go in, then that shows that he's a ben olam haba. The fact that people use him as an example of what a person should be like. In fact, Maharal Shah says the continuation of the pasuk, which the Gemara is not quoting over here, says, to go to the right or to go to the left. So Maharal Shah explains, when we say, refers to, the Gemara elsewhere explains that Haderech refers to Gemilas Chasadim, and the Gemara in another place explains that when Yisrael tells Moshe about appointing judges, and he tells them, so the Gemara explains phrase by phrase, and explains Haderech means Gemilas Chasadim, and Yehu means Bikul Cholim, and Bah means to be involved in burying Mason. So therefore, so now the same thing people are saying about this person, Zeh Haderech L'chuva, using the same key words, so meaning follow his Gemilas Chasadim, and follow his Bikul Cholim, and follow what he did as far as being Kova Mason, and then Kisei Minu V'chisas Melu, which means to go according to the strict din, as well as to go L'fnim Meshuras Adin. So when people say that about a person, follow him in all those ways, you know that he's a Ben Adam. Rav Chanina gives a different definition. Kol Shadas Rabbois of Noichahemenu, when you have a person who is Rebbeim, are pleased with him, that they hear what they hear about him and what they see him do, they're pleased with that, then that shows he's a Ben Adam. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off now. Now, all this time, the Gemara has been off and on dashing the Pesukim at the end of Kehelas that talk about what happens when a person passes away. So we quoted the Pesuk, the first half of the Pesuk before, that said, Kiholacha Adam on Beis Olam. So now the Gemara quotes the last phrase of the Pesuk. The Savavu Bashuk HaSotim, the Pesuk says the mourners are going to circulate around in the street. So what does that mean? B'nei Galila Amri, the Chachamim from the Galil, from the north of Eretz Yisrael, said, Asei Dvarim Lefnei Mitoscha, means do things that do the good kind of things that by your hesped people will talk about in front of your mitzvah of the good things you did. That's what it means. B'savu v'shuk asertim, make sure that when the mourners are circulating around, that they'll be saying positive things about it. B'nei Yehuda, Amri Asei Dvarim La'ach Mitoscha. In Yehuda, they phrased it instead. They said, do things of the kind that will be said following your mitzvah. So, V'loy Pligi, there's no real machlokas. Mar Ki Asri, each one is going to how the minhag was in their area. In the Galil, the mourners and the maspidim and all would walk in front of the mitzvah. In Yehuda, in the south of Eretz Yisrael, they would walk behind. So, therefore, in each case, it means the same thing. It means act in a way that people will be speaking positively of you at a time like that. There is also a different explanation that lifnei mitoscha and la'acha mitoscha means as far as things that a person should be accomplishing, as far as, for example, bequests for tzedakah before he passes away, and ones that should be given out from his estate after he passes away, so it includes that also. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Hossam. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shuv Yamecha, Bifnei Misascha, that it's in this week's Pirkei Avos, actually, that Rabbi Eliezer says, of the three things he told his Talmidim, that do tshuva one day before you die. So, Shalot Talmidim, Rabbi Eliezer, Pri Adam Yadeh, Eze Yen Yamos, so how is a person supposed to know what day he's going to die? Omer Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Choshekin, Yoshev Hayyim, well then all the more so, since a person doesn't know, therefore he should do tshuva today. What if he dies the next day? This way, his entire life will be spent doing tshuva. Eyon Yaakov points out, now why doesn't he say your person might die today? Because that kind of thing is not really so common, that a person should just die all of a sudden is much less common, so therefore a person is less likely to think of that. And besides which, you could also say, suppose that does happen, then those Yisurim would, that Misa would clean up a lot of his Avedas. But if he might die tomorrow, then we're saying that today he doesn't have anything yet to clean those up, so therefore you should be doing Shur. Shlomo says in his Chachma in Sefer Kehelas, "B'chol eis yu b'gadecha levonim." At all times, your clothes should be white. And we had the metaphor before that your neshama is compared to a nice change of clothing that the king gives you. So always make sure that they're white and clean. The shemen al roshchol al yaser, and there should never be oil lacking on your head. We know the Altareva brings that in Tanya and explains in particular about the shemen that refers to the oil of Chochma of Torah, and refers to that your body has to be like a wick for the oil and the flame of mitzvahs, and so on and so forth. Marashah says actually no. So Rashi says the clothes refers to the neshama. Marashah says no. That here you have the godecha, your clothes in the plural. So that can't mean the one neshama. So therefore, rather it would mean the maisim tovim. Now, mice and tovim are also called midos, and the word midos literally means clothing, like midoy bad. So it means that a person's clothing and his midos should be clean and stainless. So then, So then he's doing good. And he says also, then the Shemen al Rosh al Yasser, the letters Shemen can be rearranged to spell Nun Shin Mem, which is the Shurdish of the word Neshama. So therefore, the Shemen al Rosh al Yasser refers to the Neshama then. So the Gemara continues. Amr Yechon and Zakai, Moshal Melech Shaziminis Avada Vasoda. If like a king who invited his servants to a party, well, like Kavu Lahem Zman, but he didn't tell them when the party is going to be. So the smarter ones dressed themselves up nicely and sat in front of the king's door. Omru, they said to themselves, after all, is the palace lacking anything? At a moment's notice, they can have the whole suda prepared, and therefore we should be ready. So therefore, the nimshal, of course, being that they prepared themselves with midis and mice in turn. The more foolish ones went and did their work. Omru, they thought to themselves, how could you have a party without a lot of hard work to prepare it? Even a king's palace, it's going to be a while. We have plenty of time. We have plenty of time that we don't have to worry about it. Peace and dikash amelach sabadav. All of a sudden, he invites the servants in. So now the smart ones come in all nicely dressed up. And the foolish ones come in dirty. So the king is happy to see the smart ones, the cost of crass tipshim, and he's angry at seeing the disheveled look of the tipshim. Omru, he says, Halol Shakishtu Asatman Lasoda, the first group who dressed themselves up nicely for the party, Yeshua Vyoklu, they can be Yeshua Vyokhalishu, they can sit and eat and drink. Halol Shakishtu Asatman Lasoda, Yamna Vyiru, the other ones who didn't get dressed up for the party, they're going to have to stand around and watch. But Chasonish Rameir Hayom Meshum Rameir, but Rameir's son in law said in Rameir's name, that doesn't really work. The Halabashi, Allah Omdin Venir Kimashamshin, they'd be better off if they stand there, then people are going to think that they belong there, that they're the waiters. It's not going to be so obvious that they're standing there in order to be embarrassed. They're not going to have that embarrassment. Ella, Eva, Eva, Yoshvin, rather both groups are going to be sitting. Halalo, Oichon, Halalo, Raven. One group are going to eat and the others are going to be hungry. One group is going to be enjoying Ella Kurs and the other not. Halalo, Shoysen, Halalo, Tzmeim. One group is going to be drinking and the other one's going to be thirsty. Shenema, as the passage says, Koymar Hashem, Hine Avodah Yechevu Va'atam Tirovo. My servants will eat and you'll be hungry. Hine Avodah Yishdu Va'atam Hitzmo. My servants will drink and you'll be thirsty. Hine Avodah Yeronim, which will live. My servants, the ones who prepare themselves properly for Olam Haba, will sing from gladness of heart, and you're going to be crying out from pain of heart. So therefore, the marshal is more precise, says your mayor, when you assume that all of them are taka sitting at the table. Dovrach, then another explanation of the b'choleis yubanech alabanim, b'choleis yubanech alabanim ebu tzitzis, that refers to you should always be wearing tzitzis, because you have a white garment, the shemen al-rosh al-yechzer ebu tefillin, and the oil that should not be lacking on your head refers to tefillin, which is better, Rashi says, toiv yiram, the pasuk toiv shem shemen toiv, a name is better than good oil, so the name of Hashem that's on tefillin is better than a good oil that's on your head. Marushan says also the vote is that we know that in tzitzis you're supposed to have tchelas and you're supposed to have lavan. But therefore, so the pasuk is stressing, even if you're not tchelas, don't ignore the lavan. Wear that anyway. Same thing with tefillin. You have two mitzvahs over there, shoyad and shorosh. Even if for whatever reason you don't have or you can't put on the shoyad, don't think that I won't bother at all. At least the shemen al rosh al yasser, make sure at least you put on the shorosh. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Chopei Sivan. One of the mitzvahs that the Jewish people were told at the end of the 40 years, and how Sinai has to write a Sefer Torah, but after Kisra L'chemes HaFirah Azoz, and the Rambam phrases it that every Yid has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. So Yesh Loimar, that in different times, in different places, in different circumstances, you have times when a person can't write their own Sefer Torah, then instead, the L'chemes HaFirah way of doing the mitzvah is to accomplish it by buying a letter in a Sefer Torah of the Tzibur. And that way, through this, that all Jews have a letter in the Sefer Torah, where that's the last of the 613 mitzvahs, then we'll be Zoicha very soon to the end, the Siyum of the Golos, and all the Jews will come out of it with Mashiach Tetein. Miyad Mamash. Halacha, we're beginning a new Simen in Shulchan Aruch, in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samach Gimel, which is about Einos Dvarim and Gnevas Das. And we talked about in the previous siman about Einar, as far as money, you're not allowed to overcharge or underbuy something. So the same way, it's also Einar's Dvarim is also. We have Reloisonu Rishas HaMisai, we erase the Melekafan. It's even worse because Einar's Mammon, you can always repay the lost amount. You can't repay it, and one's affecting the Mammon and the other the Guf. And in fact, if a person cries out to Hashem because he was hurt with words, then he's answered right away by Hashem. Especially a person has to be very careful not to do a nas dvarim with his wife, because women are more naturally sensitive and they're much more easily moved to tears, and Hashem is machbed on such things. Shared Morislin.